Blog Talk Radio.
You were the first in this family to get into college.
I'm so proud of you.
I can't go, can I? I just can't afford to send you.
I didn't mean to let you down.
I understand. Maybe next year. Maybe.
Hard-working students deserve a chance. Please, support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
I am going to be ready. So the question is, are you ready tonight? Welcome to The Work Is Done. We are broadcasting to you live out of Lagos, Nigeria, product of CMBD. This is Pastor Kev with The Work Is Done. And I just want to say I'm excited tonight about what we are going to be talking about. You know, has the church lost its focus? That's our topic for tonight. Has the church lost its focus? Grab your phones. Call in tonight. Let's get ready. The number you can call in, 516-453-9133. Again, 516-453-9133. Call in tonight and let's get ready to get into this topic tonight of has the church lost its focus? You know, one of the things I think about when I think about the word focus, you know, for any of you that have ever dealt with photography, you know, you use your camera, not cell phone cameras. I'm not talking about cell phone cameras. I'm talking about an actual camera, 35 millimeter, whether it be manual, digital, whatever. But, you know, when you focus in on the target that you're taking that picture, you know, you have to adjust the focus so that you can get a clear picture. You know, and if you don't adjust the focus, of course, the picture doesn't come out right. So you might be saying, well, Pastor Kev, how does this relate to the church? You know. Well, when we're talking about has the church lost its focus, understand that the church that I'm referring to is the body, because the people make up the church, not talking about the physical building. So has the body of Christ lost its focus? You know, I think about ministries, and I sit back and I watch how some of these young people are coming up today. Number one, everybody's seeking some type of title. And I've never seen so many people all of a sudden, you know, everybody wants to be known as prophet this, evangelist this, or, you know, bishop this and apostle that. Everybody was seeking after these titles. I've seen more people interested in building churches instead of building the body, you know, asking people for donations because, you know, you want to have multiple locations. You want to be known as one church with, you know, 10 locations, a location in the east and in the west and north and south, and then you want to go to northwest and northeast, the southwest, you know. But what is the focus supposed to be on? Jesus told the disciples in Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world, preaching the gospel, teaching them, you know, everything that he taught them, and making disciples. That is what the focus should be. That's when you look at the church and why the church was instituted, it was instituted for the purpose of spreading the gospel, teaching the gospel to the four corners of the earth. That was the intent. So how is it that we've gotten so far away from that? How is it that the church is more, you know, about having concerts and building buildings instead of really, you know, what I would say is ministering to the body so that miracles, signs, and wonders are a common occurrence? But see, we don't see that today. We don't see that in churches today. We don't see, you know, the lame, you know, walking and the deaf hear and the blind receiving the sight, the mute speaking, limbs growing by. We don't see that today because the focus, I believe, of the church is just off, you know, and as many churches as we have in this country, you know, being from Philadelphia, there's a church that, if you look at a neighborhood in Philadelphia, I don't care what neighborhood you look at, there are at least 30 churches in that neighborhood. Sometimes you got two and three in the same block. So you would think with all of those churches, there wouldn't be as much crime. There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be as much violence. So what is it that the church is doing when it comes to operating according to the will of God? What is the church doing? Has the church lost its focus? You know, you don't see, and when I say this, I'm not talking about every church, of course. But, you know, where is the love of God really being demonstrated according to the word of God? Where is the love of God being demonstrated according to the word of God? There, you know, you can't just have churches that say, you know, we're going to bring in big name pastors and preachers and, you know, have this week-long convention and things like that. But yet, the community around the church is suffering. Jesus went everywhere. He didn't go just to, you know, the prominent people. He went to all the people of you know, those who were without, those who had lack. And, you know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they wanted to condemn him for hanging out with people who they thought. So now you look at some of these churches today, they don't cater to the needy. They cater to the ones who's sowing into the ministry, who's able now to provide the leadership with a certain lifestyle or a certain credibility or a certain, you know, whatever. That's what they cater to. And then people like to flock to those type of churches, and it's more about a fashion show because you want to see who's wearing the latest trends, who's wearing the latest, the nicest suits and the nicer clothes, and who's got on the nice shoes, and who's got their hair done. But there's no expectation of a word of God to change their lifestyle. And when I say their lifestyle, I mean as far as their kingdom living. There's no expectation. There's no expectation of seeing miracle signs and wonders. And I'm sitting here and it's like, I'm baffled by that. I'm truly baffled. As a pastor, I'm baffled because, you know, my ministry is not a large ministry by any account. We don't have a large ministry. We don't have hundreds of members. But what I did, you know, when we were in an actual building, my job, you know, my goal as a pastor is just like me coming on here doing the radio show, is to provoke the people who are hearing to desire to do better with their relationship with God. That is what my goal is. That's what I desire. I want you to develop a better relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because if you can put time and effort into everything else, why can't you put time and effort into building your relationship? Why is it that, you know, all these other things come first? Oh, I can't go to church. I got to work. Oh, I can't go to Bible study because I'm tired. Oh, but yet, if I said, come on, we're going to the game, or we're going to the club, or we're going to the cookout, we're going to the barbecue, so you gung-ho about that. You ready to go. But when it comes to the things of God, that takes a back burner. And a lot of that is the church's fault, because the church, you know, as a whole, are not really meeting the needs, the spiritual needs of the people. And I know people are hungry. I know people are hungry for the word. That's why you see people going from church to church, because they go to this church, then they're not spiritually fed. the church is spiritually dead. I don't care if they're running around the church, jumping, hooping, hollering, shouting, and all that stuff. All that stuff is emotional stirring. That's what that is. It's getting people emotionally stirred up. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at the life that Jesus led, he and the ministry that he had, he never went around trying to get people emotionally stirred up. Why? He kept his focus. He said, listen, I have come not to be served, but to serve. He said, I speak what my Father speaks. Do what my Father does. That's what he did. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back here with the workers of talking about, has the church lost its focus? Right back after this.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. Thank you.
right. We are back here with The Work Is Done, and we're talking about, has the church lost its focus? And I want people to understand, you know, this is not a time for bashing. It's not what I'm doing. I'm not, you know, attacking the church. I'm just really trying to get people to understand that there is something that the church is supposed to be doing that a lot of churches have gotten away from. That's what this is about, because we got to regain our focus. Let's go to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Pastor. It's Jerry Petito. How are you?
My girl, Jerry. How are you doing tonight, Jerry?
I'm doing okay, sweetie. You know, I love your topics. I always need to listen to your shows. I always need some God in my life. You know that? And I look forward to it. But, you know, yeah, the church has lost its focus, even from when I was younger till now. And I think about the differences in what the church is about. And you're right. It's not about bashing. It's just bringing awareness. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times the church, with things they're doing, people leave. And, you know that. And I don't have a solution. I really don't, because I kind of look past things. I know one thing. I have a relationship with God. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. So I go and I listen to the messages, and even you online, I listen to you. I love it. You know, I just listen to the message. I kind of try not to focus what's going on around me when I do go to church. That's best for me.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I like what you said about the difference between us going to church at a younger age as opposed to, and how the church was set up back then, how it was established as opposed to what goes on now. Because, you know, my family, we had our own church growing up. My grandfather was the pastor. And there was a certain amount of discipline that was in the church, you know, that a lot of times you don't see now, because I think a lot of churches, they more into catering to the people because they don't want the people to leave.
Right.
So because they don't want to lose membership, they cater to whatever foolishness that the people are bringing into the church. So now you get a much more watered down version of churches today. Because,
you're right.
You know, they're not really teaching, you know, the chastening of God. So if you come to this church and you're shacking up, you're living together, you're not married, the church is not going to say anything against that. A lot of churches don't say anything against that. Why? Because, like I said, they don't want to lose you as a member. So if I'm not correcting your sinful behavior, isn't the leadership, aren't they going to be held accountable for that? Isn't the body held, don't we as the body bear some responsibility in making sure that people are living a righteous life before God?
Can I comment on that?
Absolutely.
You know, what you just said kind of hit a nerve, because in a good way. Because there's this, like, fine line when pastors preach where, you're right, they don't want to offend the people so the people don't leave, right? But they should also address what's in the Bible and sin is sin, but in a loving way, so that the people want to keep coming back, and then one day they might stand up and say, I need to really accept Jesus and change my life.
Right.
That's how it should go.
Mm-hmm. And
right?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's why, but see, this is why I teach that, you know, Christ never condemned the person for the sin that they committed. He never condemned the person. What he did was he condemned the sin, and then he loved on the person. That's why he always looked at the person and say, go your way and sin no more.
Yeah.
He didn't look at the person and say, oh, look at what you did, and how could you do this? You know, no, he never did that. He loved the person and condemned the sin. That's
amazing. You're right.
So yes, when you're talking about, you know, how are we supposed to, you know, offer this correction, it has to be done in love. But the person has to be able and willing to receive the correction. And part of the problem is people don't want to be corrected. Go ahead.
I want to share one last thing with you, because I know you have other callers. God really blessed me yesterday. I was in CVS getting my photos done as usual. All my friends work there. And in walked a woman that had a troubled life. And I never, I always stayed in her life. And she knew she could always talk to me. I always prayed with her, whatever, right?
Right.
I didn't know this. She came up to me and she had tears in her eyes. And she said, Jerry, I have to tell you something. She said, you were such a huge influence on me when it came to God. I now wholeheartedly gave my life to him because of you.
Mm.
And I almost cried. I said to her, you're going to make me cry because I'm far from perfect. And then the strangest thing happened. She brought something up. And I said, this meeting tonight wasn't for you. It was for me. I've been struggling with something, and I cannot believe you just brought that up. So you have blessed me like you have no idea. It was amazing. It was amazing.
And when you look at who we are supposed to be in Christ, and if we can maintain our focus, then so a lot of times we don't even know the lives of people that we have impacted along our journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because, you know, we're doing it for the accolades or the recognition. We're just being focused about being about God's business.
Well, God bless you, Pastor. Thank
you
so much.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your comments. Love you. Always appreciate when you're able to call in because you're an awesome woman of God. So we thank Jerry Petito. Call in. Listen to her show. Check her out. We're going to go right back to the call lines. We have another caller waiting. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Pastor. How are you? Peace and blessings.
Hey. I am great. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing a whole lot better since I hear your voice, Pastor.
Listen, for those of you that don't know, because she didn't introduce herself, this is Sister Bessie the Truther, and I know she's coming on here with words of wisdom. Hey, welcome to The Work Is Done. What is your comment tonight?
Well, you know, the one thing I looked up, you know, is the church mentioned in the whole Bible once? The word church.
You said, is the word church mentioned in the Bible?
Only once.
Well, I guess it would really depend on what translation you're reading.
Okay.
I guess that would have to be the way that I answer that question. It would be what translation you're reading. But in the King James Version of the Bible, the word church is mentioned in 76 verses.
Okay, I'm going to check that out because, you know, I got the strong concordance. So I'm going to check it out. But I also wanted to ask you, you know I call Jesus Yahshua. So when he went and taught, he mostly taught where the people were in groups.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only time I remember is that when he went in the temple. No, he went twice. I believe he was 12, and the next time the money changers was in the temple, and he knocked out all the tables because they were dealing with money in the temple. So today, the churches today, like you were saying, is not like when we were coming up, because I'm looking at, a lot of times I look at YouTube and you can see how the churches are existing now. It's based on you getting a blessing about money. The music has changed. Even the dress has changed. And I think that's one reason why I haven't gone, because I told you my story before, what I experienced. And I never have gone back. But I think the church serves a purpose, but they are not serving the purpose that they should be doing today. Because when I look at the music, it's like rock and roll. It's like R&B, you know, because I remember, you know, like Shirley Caesar. Oh, my goodness.
Hell,
if you hear that lady, oh, that lady sings, she just bring tears to your eyes, and she makes you want to jump up and praise the Most High. It's not like that. You know what I mean?
Yes. And you know, again, you're touching on some very important facts. You know, just the direction. Like you say, you go on YouTube. See, that's one of the things that, you know, I know people do. They go on YouTube, and everybody, what I said earlier, everybody is a prophet now. I've never seen so many prophets, and everybody has a prophetic word. Oh, here's a prophetic word for 2022. Here's a prophetic word for this, and here's a prophetic, like, okay, so let's understand. Jesus said, you know, in the last days, says the Spirit, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all men. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Okay. Just because you are given a prophetic word doesn't mean you're a prophet.
Right. Because a lot of them today, you see them with planes. They got 3 and 4 planes. They got mansions and all like that. Now, when did Yahshua have all that? He just went around in the area wherever he traveled and taught the word of the Most High. It is so different. You know, and I do remember that scripture, Pastor, where it said, where it said that the Satan would sit in the north of the temple where the Most High would sit. And that was his goal, to sit right where the Most High was. Am I correct?
Well, you know, he has his people infiltrate the church. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, because the goal is to get the people's focus off of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if I introduce you to, you know, the secular side of the music, if I introduce you to, you know, the false prophets, because like I said, there are people who are hungry for the word, but the hunger sometimes promotes gullibility. So people have become gullible because you want to hear something. So now I can just come tell you anything. And just like Harold Camping. I don't know if you remember Harold Camping. He was the guy who was saying on the radio how he knew the exact day that Jesus was coming back. And people believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Why? Because they're hungry for the word, and they're willing to fall for anything because people don't study the word for themselves. They would rather have somebody dictate to them and tell them what the word says. And when you have people like that, you can tell them anything, and they'll follow you. Jim Jones had people drinking poison Kool-Aid.
Yes.
David Koresh, you know,
instead of reading for themselves. And
right.
I just want to say, I want to thank you for all that you do because, you know, I grew up in the church because the house that I lived was right behind the church. So all we had to do was walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great difference what I see in my spirit that they're allowing anything and everything to come there in that place, and they're supposed to be serving the Creator. But I thank you, Pastor. I enjoy talking with you, and I would like for you to keep me in your prayers. You are a wonderful person, and I just thank you for who you are.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Bessie. Again, for those of you who are listening, awesome woman, powerful wisdom, knowledge. Tune into her show as well. I always enjoy when she calls into the show because she's such a woman of wisdom. So thanks, Sister Bessie the Truther, for calling in. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, good evening. Praise the Lord, Pastor Perry. How are you? This is Tinchilla Josephia.
Hey, Miss Tinchilla J. How are you this evening?
Yes. I'm doing fine. Yeah. I'm enjoying your show. And, you know, I was just listening to Sister Bessie, and, you know, I can definitely relate to where she's coming from. And, you know, your topic is something that's definitely needed. Because the church has definitely gotten away from the basic principles of, you know, what we're supposed to do as Christians and as believers and as ministers of the gospel, especially. There's so many today that are definitely not following God's blueprint for our lives. And it's a sad thing because we have pastors today that are leading the sheep astray, and they're leading them astray with their wrong teachings. And it, to me, it just really saddens my heart to see where the church is today. And, of course, the church is not the four walls of a building made by man. The church, we are the church. We are the church. And being that we are the church, the lives that the church is living today is just very sinful. And, you know, how my grandmom used to say when I was a kid, you know, when she would talk about different people, she'd be like, oh, they're going to bust hell wide open. And that's where the church is today, because they are now worldly. And there was a time when the church was not worldly, but today everyone wants to be worldly and invite the world into the house of God, and it's fine because sinners are supposed to come to the house of God to be saved, delivered, and set free, healed, and all of those things. But they should not be coming into the house of God, and then the preachers that are the shepherd of that particular church, you know, as they call it, a foundation, that particular church, those shepherds, once the worldly people come in, it's their duty and job to get those people delivered. And, you know, deliverance has to be something that people want. And but today they go to church and it's just like a party. It's like a party because of the music today. We don't hear music like when I was growing up. We had the real gospel music that really moved you, and you could feel the presence of the Holy Ghost and the anointing through the singers. You know, God's anointing and the Spirit of God filled the place. But today, you go into some churches and you don't feel the presence of God at all. There's no anointing. Everything is for form and fashion. Everything is for show. And, you know, who can sing the best, who dress the best, and who can preach the best. And it's not a competition in the house of God. It's not about that. And we have the pastors of the churches that are pacifying the word and watering it down, sugarcoating it to appease and appeal to the people. And that's not what God's word is about. When God told us to go into, you know, preach the gospel to every creature, go all around, you know, in highways and byways, that's what he meant, to preach the unadulterated gospel of Christ. You know, preaching the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. These are the things that should be preached in a church today, and not allowing everything to just come into God's house and just disrupt it. And if the head of the house is corrupt, then the whole house is corrupt. So if we have pastors today that are living in so much sin, adulterers and fornicators and doing all kinds of things, and if that's at the head, then of course it's in the congregation because it comes from the head down. And if you have that pastor that's going around laying hands on the members, you know, to deliver them from something that they're still in sin of, you know, it's just so wrong. It's just all messed up today, Pastor Perry. And it just really hurts my heart to see these things today. And I heard you say that now, you know, there are so many people on YouTube and everywhere else calling themselves prophets. Yeah, all over the place. Everybody wants to be a prophet. And, you know, and everybody wants to be an apostle as well. And, you know, I remember there was a time when apostles, we didn't hear of anybody calling themselves apostles. And then back in the late 1990s, you know, in the mid-1990s, should I say, God had said to me that I was his apostle. And, you know, I said, well, oh, no, I haven't heard of any apostles, you know, I heard, you know, of evangelists and ministers and, you know, but I haven't heard of anyone else call themselves apostles. So for years, I did not, say I was an apostle. And then it took, I guess, a few years, and God bringing confirmation from different other ministers and prophets and prophetesses that that's what God had ordained me to be and called me to be, and, you know, I accepted that. But at that time, I didn't know any apostles in Pennsylvania, none in Delaware. I didn't know any at all, no place, until God revealed to me and introduced me to some apostles up in Connecticut. And that was like in the 90s. And now we're in 2022, and Pastor Perry, there's so many today that are going around just giving themselves the title of apostle, giving themselves the title of a prophet.
Giving themselves.
And it's so very wrong, because if God didn't ordain and anoint them to be that, they're wrong. And that's simple. And that's really, really something that they're going to have to answer to God about, because God doesn't call everybody to be those things. And it's so sad. And it's just for a show. That's all it is today. It's a showboat. But there are definitely still some real anointed men and women of God out there, but we don't find them too often. And it's so sad the way that the church has now become the weekend, the Sunday nightclub during the daytime, and then the revivals. You know, those are like going to a club today because of the music that they're playing. And you don't feel the presence of God. All the songs are secular-based. They use the secular music, change the words, and people are actually literally dancing to that stuff because it doesn't fill you up with the Spirit of God. And so it's really sad, Pastor Perry. So this is definitely a good show tonight, and I just hope and pray that the church will get back to the way the church was when I was growing up, even before I was growing up, like, you know, with my grandmother and all of that, and how they just were the praying mothers and, you know, the prayer warriors and the church mothers. They were holy, but there's no holiness today. And it's sad that there is no holiness. And I just pray that it gets back to that point again, because that's what we need. And I definitely thank you for this show tonight. It is awesome, Pastor Perry. Keep up the good work and continue to do the work of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I hope people heard exactly everything that you said, because it was powerful. And I'm going to touch on some of the things that you said when we come back with The Work Is Done. And we'll be right back after this.
stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my truth is at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary.
Work is done. We've had some interesting comments tonight from some of the callers, and you know, I would love to take the time to address some of the things that were said. And again, I want you all to understand what I'm saying tonight. Those that have called in, and even myself, this is not about church bashing. That is not what we're doing. We are not bashing the church. We're not being negative. What we're saying is that there's a way that the church, we, the body, have to get back to. Then, you know, one of the things that the Bible says, it says return to your first love. We have to be able to return and get back in focus. We're going to go back to the call lines. We have another caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, peace, peace, and abundant divine blessings, man of God. How you doing? My tribal name, of course,
hey,
is Huni Baba.
Magic
Tom.
Man.
How are you, man of God? I'm doing excellent. Love your message, and I definitely want to hear what you have to say, so I'm going to be swift if you allow me to. So the answer is yes, especially when it comes to the so-called black church. The so-called black church used to be a place of refuge. The so-called black church was not only a place of refuge for the people in our neighborhoods. You get what I'm saying? So they definitely have lost focus. And I know this now. There's nothing wrong with getting money, right? I can comprehend that to some degree. But when I look at, especially when things have become open and so mixed, you got a lot of black preachers in particular, whether it's male or female, and they want to live like say your Jim Bakers and all these people that have generational wealth. Are you feeling me? And when they concentrated more on money opposed to the souls of the people. First of all, I'm gonna say this: there's not an edifice anywhere from Jerusalem or anywhere that can compare to the physical body. Okay, and you go into the earliest teaching from the Torah, whatever. This is why it says, I blew into man, which of course means woman, of my spirit, and man became a living soul. Okay, so that's the rudiment of it. And a lot of the teachers is not concentrating and teaching us, because one way or another, the spirit or soul, if you still have one, is going to vacate the spirit of the physical body one day. And again, that's the amount of difference. And I noticed that when people start to mix and mingle and try to live like they're adversaries, you get what I'm saying? Keep in mind, I'm going to say this, and I want to hear what you have to say. Bottom line is, when you're dealing with people that's got generational wealth, that's a difference. I don't care how rich that they may get by today's standard, that's nothing. Like Warren Buffett said to Jay-Z, I'll take that money. That's my pocket money you got. Yeah, you're a billionaire, but that's my pocket money right there. You understand? And again, I'm just going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of your show, sir.
Hey, listen. Thanks, Brother Magic Man. Huni Bakin Tune, again, another caller with wisdom and insight. And see, that's what I love about these kind of shows, because we get the insight from different perspectives. You know, he talked about, he mentioned the generational wealth that's, you know, being transferred. But is it wealth from ill-gotten gain? And the reason why I say that is this, because, you know, as a pastor, I understand that the Bible says that those who teach and preach the gospel are worthy of double honor. But I didn't get into this for the money. I got into being a pastor because I was called to be a pastor. And when and it wasn't something that I was looking to do. It wasn't something that, you know, oh, let me be a pastor and start a church, because really, if you look at it, who would voluntarily want to take on that type of responsibility of people's souls that a person should take lightly? And now he also mentioned, you know, which we all know, is the condition of a lot of black churches. And the condition is, and this is not saying all, but there are a lot of them who are more focused on how they look as a church instead of what they should be doing as a church. And that is what bothers me, because when you're more focused on, and this is something that Chinchilla said as well, when the leadership is more focused with just putting butts in seats, not caring who's filling the seats, not caring the status of the soul that's in the seat, they would rather fill their churches with people who are not living according to the righteous standard that God has set up for us, but rather because these people give their money. And, you know, I've seen ministries that are about just that. I've seen some of these new people who call themselves prophets. And yes, there are some real prophets out there, but the false ones, the fake ones, make it hard for the real to stand up and really do what God has called them to do. See, I don't believe in 50-50 prophets. I don't believe that you're a prophet just because you say you're a prophet, because the Bible tells me not to. The Bible tells me to beware of false prophets, especially in the day and time that we're in. We're supposed to beware. He said, test the spirit. Test it and see if it is of God. But because the focus is not what it should be, everybody's running around. And then, you know, okay, well, I want you to read Isaiah 55:17. After you read Isaiah 55:17, I want you to send me $55.17 based on Isaiah. Come on. Foolishness that I don't get involved in. That's foolishness. But because people are hungry, a lot of people have become gullible. You can't tell me that you're a prophet, but yet half of your prophecies don't come true. I knew people who were talking about, oh, Trump was going to get reelected, and because this is what God revealed to me, and I'm prophetic, and then he didn't get reelected. Then it was, oh, well, I didn't mean this term. What? See, nope. Not doing that. Not falling for the fake. Not falling for the phony. I'm trying to keep my focus. That's what I want y'all to concentrate on tonight. Keeping that with the work is done. Call in, be a part of the conversation, and we'll be right back after this.
Life is not promised to anyone. It'll get away. I got something I want to say. I was you to complain about what life is offering you. The eyes, the cars, those things, they really don't mean one thing. What does it mean to gain the world and in the end lose your soul? I think I ought to let you know that these things don't last for long. I'll show you.
All right, we're back with The Work Is Done. I want to read something to you from the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. And this is really going to give some understanding to why, you know, I do shows like this, and especially for the topic tonight. Has the church lost its focus? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful creator. Judgment again with God's people in the house of God. It has to begin there. See, this is why it also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a man examine himself. For if we are judged, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. We have to judge ourselves. But see, you talk to people, and the new thing is, you know, don't judge me. You can't judge me. Yes, I can. Matthew chapter 7 tells me that in order to judge you, I have to make sure that I am first and in right standing. I have to first remove the board, remove the plank, remove the speck from my eye so that I can see clearly to remove it from yours. Once it is removed from my eye, then I have the right to judge you according to your deeds and your actions, because the Bible tells me I will know you by your fruit. If your fruit is unholy, if your fruit is rotten, and nobody tells you, then what happens? You walk around with smelly, rotten fruit. So it is the job of the pastor to make sure that in love now, that you're walking around with good fruit and not smelly, rotten fruit. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And it's all according to the word. It's all biblically. It's all biblical. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we are supposed to correct each other. We are supposed to judge each other. But it has to be righteous judgment. Church has lost its focus, and we just let people do what they want to do, come as they want to come, go as they want to go, and there's no change. The church is going to be judged for that, because judgment has to come to the house of God first. And if the church has lost its focus, what type of judgment can the church expect? And we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the people. We're talking about those who call themselves believers, those who call themselves Christians. If you're not, can't expect to have other people or tell them to operate correctly, because, you know, people don't really pay attention to what you say a lot of times, but they are absolutely watching what you do, because we've all been down that road. You can talk it, but are you walking it? Let's get this thing back in focus. This is The Work Is Done. This is Pastor Cass. Let's bring on Brother O.
Giving honor to the Most High, and to my parents, and to my father, the illustrious Dr. Lonnie Aloysius Beverly Sr., and my mother, Debbie Beverly Ngozi. I remember a time, especially when I was a little kid, you felt something when you went into, I'm going to talk about the building. You felt something when you went into the house of the Lord. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. The good books in the scriptures talk about the generations would be wiser, but weaker. And that's what we see in our churches today. Weak people, thinking that they're wise. We had some people, man, I'm telling you, back in the good old days, the good old days, that had less education and got your soul right. We saw preachers that came from storefront churches, like the great Dr. Frederick Douglass Washington in New York, like the great James Oglethorpe Patterson in Memphis. We saw some great people. And I came up out of the Church of God in Christ, so no one can ever tell me what's the difference between, listen, back in the old days, you know, we talk about being whole. And that's the word of holiness. Holiness is right, Titus 2 and 4 says. you know, holiness unto the Lord. Period. If you're not coming toward God whole, then you're not. And no one's perfect. Even I'm not perfect. However, I know what's right. I know what's truth. I know people were being delivered. I know people were giving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, however you want to interpret it. And I know those folks lived a great life while their kids went on to great education and learned different things. But I tell you one thing, you go back home and all whatever you learned, you went back home to Grandma Maddie's house and you were subject. No matter what you learned, you said, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. What can I do for you, ma'am? And that's the problem. I've been saying this since 2013. Charity starts at home. Do you know where your children are right now? I know where my son is. My son's in college. I could FaceTime him right now and know where he's at. But do you know where your child is? Do you know where your breath is? And our breath is to teach the young better life. An abundant life. The things that we learn. I'm going to tell you something about, let me tell you a jewel. Honey Parker Thompson's going to talk about his book. I'm going to open up the book of Ola Dele. And listen very, very closely. There's two things you got to fight with every day. It's your ego and your shadow. Your ego and your shadow. The key is getting the ego and the shadow to become friends, become cool with each other. Because let me tell you about your ego. Your ego is what you are about. I'm this, I'm that. Even if you're humble, that's an ego too. Because, you're forming something that is based on how people perceive you. You know, thank you so much. I'm not that. You know, I appreciate what you said. Okay, that's a build-up. And if you are boasters and loquacious, same thing, type of ego. But the shadow knows who you are. The shadow knows your weaknesses. And that's what you try to hide. The shadow knows you're not good enough. The shadow knows, you know, maybe I'm not the person that I think I am. And you got to fight that shadow. And what Pastor Perry is talking about tonight, a new way. Evening yourself out in the evening. Not always just the moon, but your own evening. What is your evening tonight? The word evening. Get yourself even. Get yourself together. Know who you're dealing with. Understand that. And once you do that, no matter good or bad, happy or sad, you can make it. Let's check on our families. Let's check on our next-door neighbor. Like I've been saying, almost 9 years. You live in a community, not a neighborhood. Not a hood of neighbors. You live in a commune of greatness. If you take care of your own household and then check on your next-door neighbor, then maybe that spirit in that community will do the same thing to their next door neighbor or you to the corner of the corner houses. And then you become a community where you will not allow kids on your block to be murdered, girls on your block to be abducted or raped. You won't allow loud music at 12 o'clock in the nighttime when you're trying to go to sleep to go to work the next day. You won't allow these things. But listen. There's people that are freedom fighters in their own neighborhood that stand up for justice. But that one person can't do it. We have to be together. That's what this is all about. The church building. The church person. You. It starts with the temple of God, which is you. And if you, you allow yourself to be that temple, you can help people and change people. I know that's right. Amen, Walls. Tomorrow night on these outstanding broadcasting entities, that is WBNN, we have a young lady that's coming back to our network. Again, I always say, man, well, why is she a candidate? Because there's no room right now. And she's doing a great job for us. Even before her candidacy show tomorrow night, her name is Shannon Stanton. And the WBNN candidacy show will be at a special time, 10:30 tomorrow night, Eastern Daylight, right here. And, of course, WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're Ngozi Time at Twitter, at Instagram, also Pinterest. And on Facebook at Ola Dele Malay, we're Ngozi. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, oledele.ngoziwithmy@gmail.com. And I am simply your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Malay, we're Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all of the folks out there, our wonderful listeners at Armed Force Radio and around the world. Again, join us in for tomorrow's programming, the WBNN Candidacy Show at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And also, you can listen to our wonderful shows and archives at www.blogtalkradio.com. And let us end our program tonight with the Invitation to Discipleship by the wonderful, the Right Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry at this time.
Amen. You know, again, let me just say that, you know, as a pastor, I would do the body a great disservice if I didn't try to do my best to heal or to help heal every area of your soul that is broken. Because you can come to the altar and get your spirit man renewed. But what about your soul? Your soul still needs to be saved. So if that's you tonight, and you heard this word tonight, and you say, you know what? I've been out of focus. I've been looking through life. I've been looking at life through blurred vision. Allow God to come in and clear that up so you can see clearly what it is that he needs you to do. And if that's you tonight, let's all join in and say this together. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me a new spirit. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your power that I may grow into the person you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that tonight, continue to listen to this broadcast. Continue to do your relationship with God through prayer and communication, through the studying of his word, not just reading it. We read for knowledge, but we study for application. We need to study it so that we can apply it to our lives, not just on Sunday, but every day. Amen. This is Pastor Kev. The work is done. I love you. See you guys in 4 weeks. Holla.